Oh my God, yeah, that was you.
Today is Wednesday, March 17th, 2010. We are in morning session. This is the Portland City Council. We'll come back from recess of about 5 minutes. Carla, we're going to do the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? All right. Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have a 10:30 time certain. We're running a little late. We will be expeditious. Can you please read the item for resolution, item number 356?
Authorize the city to submit a response to Google's request for information for construction of ultra-high-speed open-access broadband network within Portland.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. It's very appropriate that this item comes immediately after the celebration of arts and culture. And also the announcement this morning that Portland is the greenest city in the country, and the proclamation honoring farm workers. We are a diverse community and something for everyone, including the technology geeks. And so it's my pleasure to introduce the simple resolution stating the enthusiastic support of the City of Portland in responding to Google's request for information to build an ultra-high-speed fiber network to the homes in selected cities. We're not guaranteed to get it, but we're going to go for it with gusto. On Wednesday, February 10th, Google announced a plan to build one or more fiber-to-the-home networks in one or more cities in the United States. And the deadline for this is March 26th, which is why we are doing it today. At that time, the Office of Communications and Franchise Management Director David Olson was traveling in China, and Acting Director Mary Beth Henry immediately jumped at the opportunity, despite the fact that she was already in the middle of preparing the $8 million technology grant that we told you about last week. Over the next several weeks, Mary Beth, Skip Newbury, Brendan Finn, Tim Crail, and David Olson met regularly, including many community stakeholders, and many of you are here today. Thank you. I'm excited about the opportunities that Portland's selection would provide, and I'm particularly grateful to Brendan Finn, the Chief of Staff of Commissioner Saltzman, who had the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management before me, who has enthusiastically led the charge on this. Brendan?
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you for your leadership on this issue. Mayor, Council, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Indeed. In fact, we're going to be taking a break at 11:30, no matter whether we're mid-sentence or not, to see some Irish dancing brought to you by the famous Irish-American Randy Leonard.
The Molly Malone Dancers, mm-hmm. An annual tradition. I'm Brendan Finn from Commissioner Saltzman's office. My co-conspirators here with me this morning are David Olson, the director of the Office of Cable and Franchise Management, Deputy Director Mary Beth Henry, and Skip Newbury from Mayor Sam Adams' office. We're here today to increase the amount of fiber in Portland's diet. I think it goes without saying that the internet has become an everyday existence, vital to the everyday existence of citizens and businesses across the globe. Its evolution has been unpredictable, but its innovations have changed the dynamics of our economy, creativity, and the way that we connect with our family, friends, and our community. Yet, in one of the most industrialized nations in the world, the United States remains to be 32nd in the world in providing high-speed internet access, right next to Sylvania. This is not news to this city council, as you've exhibited over a decade of leadership in trying to provide Portland with the needs of the 21st century, providing this infrastructure. Much like the sustainability movement, This is one of those forward-thinking issues where Portland leads the way and the rest of the nation follows. That might sound tremendously smug coming from a Portlander, but when FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein was here visiting with Commissioner Saltzman just 2 years ago, he stated just that. And just yesterday, the FCC finally took action under the leadership of President Obama's new appointment to accept their new broadband plan, which mirrors many of the concepts that this city council has long since adopted. Today, we bring those concepts, studies, and policy goals into action by applying to Google to be their testbed community for the next generation of high-speed internet. Fiber to the premises at no cost to taxpayers. So, just to hear from Google themselves, we have about a minute and a half video so you can hear exactly what they're anticipating and what they'd like to see.
Hi, I'm James Kelly. I'm a product manager on Google's infrastructure team. Today, we're announcing our plans to build and test ultra-high-speed broadband networks in the United States. We plan to provide fiber-to-the-home service with speeds up to 1 gigabit per second for at least 50,000 and potentially up to 500,000 people. In the selected locations, we'll offer internet connections up to 100 times faster than many Americans have access to today, and at competitive prices. We're doing this because we want to experiment with new ways to make the web better and faster for everyone, allowing applications that would be impossible today. We also want to try out new ways to build and operate fiber networks and share what we learn with the world. Finally, we're going to operate open access networks, meaning we'll share our network with other service providers, giving users more choice. We want to get started as quickly as possible, and we need to find the right community partners for it to succeed. If you're a state, county, or city official, you can express your interest in the project by answering some questions online at our project website. And if you're not a city official, you can still nominate your community. Working with the right community partners, we look forward to seeing what's possible. Please visit our website and get involved.
That's straight from the words of their mouths. Now I'm going to turn it over to David Olson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. David Olson of Office of Cable and Franchise Management. You've heard from me once or twice on this subject. And have been very patient and gracious. But this is very exciting stuff. When I was last before you and when the council had a discussion of this, we talked about Portland being the hole in the fiber donut. That is, we are surrounded by fiber in the suburban communities, but there is absolutely little or no prospect of our incumbent telephone and cable companies running fiber to the home here in the center where it's most needed for to be economically competitive and to get to the next generation of broadband, as we have discussed with this council many times. This council is aware and should absolutely take credit for being, as Brandon said, at the forefront of this issue, not just last year, not just 5 years ago, but for nearly a dozen years, this council has been on top of this issue ahead of everybody. And our bona fides, our CV, on this issue in response to Google, in my opinion, this is not a remote response. We have everything in this city, including the history and commitment, and a history that no other city in the country can match, nobody, in terms of responding to this. We are shovel-ready. We have the information. We have the commitment. We have the history. We have the policies ahead of the nation. I don't personally regard this as a remote possibility. I think this is the place, this is the time, this is the partnership, and this is the council that can get this done. You know the history. Brandon mentioned the National Broadband Plan the FCC announced yesterday. With all respect, we love them. They're our partners in many of this. But, you know, that broadband plan is all about getting more wireless spectrum out there, getting more TV gadgets, and giving a lot more money to the telephone and cable incumbents in this country that have caused the USA to slip to, what, 30th, 20th in the world in broadband in the last 10 years from a position of first place 10 years ago. And a lot of it is about getting more tweets in the truck lanes of broadband. In other words, about moving the marbles so the USA stays in the truck lanes and not in the fast lanes where the future is. That's what Google is proposing. That's what we've always said we have to have. You have to have speeds on the internet that are truly game changers, landscape changers, that change the entire equation for applications known and unknown. That's what this is about. That's what this council has been saying for years. And so I couldn't be happier to have heard about this in Hong Kong. And my brother saying, I can't believe this is happening. They're doing this? Yes. So come back and get on this. And as the last element probably is what I was trying to explain to my son when he said, what is this, last night? He's 13. And I've told him what it was, 1 gigabit per second fiber to the home in a test bed. He finally got it. I talked about what that would mean to the stuff he runs. And he said, that would be awesomely cool. And you know what? I think it's a match made in heaven. Thank you.
Mayor and commissioners, I'm Mary Beth Henry. As part of my duties with the city, I have the honor to represent all of Oregon cities on the Oregon Broadband Advisory Council. And am a board member of the National Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors. It's a national organization of cities promoting rich connectivity among people, institutions, and information. The Google Fiber Project is really about connectivity, making sure that we're all connected. Just 2 days ago, on behalf of 18 partners of Connect Portland, I pressed the button to submit the grant proposal for a broadband technology opportunity program grant that is all about connectivity. The grant will address critical needs for broadband access and training for our most vulnerable populations. We are actively working to address the digital divide, and we will increase our chances for success if Google decides to deploy its fiber project here in Portland. Many of us realize that the quality of Portland's information and communications technology will increasingly define our future economic opportunity. Reflected in increasing economic opportunity is the value of inclusion. To this end, we have reached out to include not only a wide variety of Portlanders for help in landing Google, but we have reached out to the other 4 cities in Oregon that hope to attract Google as well. We've reached out to the governor's office and to the Broadband Advisory Council. We are saying to Google, we here in Oregon would love you to pick one or more of our cities for your fiber testbed, because we understand if Google picks any community in Oregon, all of Oregon is a winner. The cities of Eugene, Gresham, Hood River, Pendleton, and Portland have all agreed to commit to working with each other in whatever way necessary to support a Google deployment in Oregon. Portlanders have long been pioneers of innovation, open source telecommunications, and information technologies, and will readily engage in an opportunity to deploy, develop, and utilize Google's visionary broadband network. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Skip Newberry. I work as on the mayor's economic development team. A couple things I wanted to point out today. First, starting with Google wants to demonstrate that this type of investment is going to produce a pretty quick return in a short period of time. And I just want to touch upon a couple of examples that I think make Portland particularly strong as a sort of living laboratory for innovation. The first thing I want to point out is that Portland has a very large number of home-based businesses. With many core business functions migrating to the web, this means that home-based businesses stand to benefit greatly from this type of an initiative. Examples include video, graphic design, e-commerce, and software development businesses. Additionally, as more people are able to work from home, this has a significant impact. Businesses can reduce overhead, increase worker productivity, and significantly reduce the carbon footprint of their employees. Furthermore, employees are increasingly free to live anywhere, and this is the new knowledge-based economy. And Portland offers a very attractive value proposition in terms of quality of life. We also have a number of community partners who stand ready to assist us in helping to close the gap between those who have access to the internet and those who do not. If we're selected by Google, One example is we could partner with One Economy and its Digital Connectors program here in Portland, which helps to train local youth, helping them to develop leadership and workplace skills so that they can help connect their neighbors and their friends to the internet and provide training and support. If we can provide low-income residents with access to computers and the training that they need to take full advantage of online learning opportunities, we can do our part to help reduce the digital divide. And finally, I just want to mention another news item that went out today. Today is the official launch date of Portland's Civic Apps Contest. And it's a software design contest that is regional in its approach. We've partnered with TriMet and the county and Portland Public Schools. And we're trying to make it as transparent and open to the public and accessible as possible to the public, so that people can submit ideas for new software applications and mobile apps that they'd like to see developed that take advantage of public data sets that the city and these other partner organizations have now made available. This is a perfect example of what's possible in a city like Portland that's known for its openness and collaboration. And with that, I think it's now time to hear from Portland's greatest asset, which is its residents. And I'd also like to respectfully request that since the students who are here to speak have an exam coming up today, that they be asked to come forward to speak first.
Sure.
Thanks.
What exam do you have today?
I actually have an IB Spanish oral.
Qué lástima.
Qué lástima, por supuesto.
Andale pues. Who'd like to go first?
I will, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Council, and thank you for inviting me to represent the youth of Portland. My name is Sam Burnett, and I am an eighth grader from Mount Tabor Middle School, where I am the student body president. I am here to emphasize to you the importance of high bandwidth internet for the future. My generation faces severe challenges with the environment, the economy, and global relationships. We will need tools in order to face these challenges, the most critical being the internet. This presents us with an interesting opportunity, an opportunity to allow one of the students of Portland to become the inventor of the next eBay or Wikipedia. Even in everyday life, we use the internet nonstop on social networking sites such as Facebook and MySpace. I imagine a future where high-speed internet-based applications help monitor the environment, optimize job growth and the economy, and let citizens of the world engage in cooperative international problem solving on a regular basis. You have the opportunity today to establish the foundation for this future. I wholeheartedly support the proposal you have in front of you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good job.
Hi, my name is Quinn Rolfe. I'm a junior at Lincoln High School, and I do work with the Multnomah Youth Commission as a commissioner on the commission. I feel that Portland would be an excellent partner with Google on this venture because there's a huge, largely untapped potential in Portland that stems from the creativity and resourcefulness of Portland area youth. I don't know how 1 gigabyte per second internet connect or gigabit per second internet connections could change the world, but I can tell you that some Portland youth has an idea. When given advanced tools, Portland youth display an amazing knack for innovation. One example of this is FIRST Robotics. It's a competition that I'm involved in, and it involves high school students designing, building, and programming robots in under 6 weeks. As a part of this competition, students are given access to industry software, professional mentoring, and commercial facilities like the PCC machine shop. And at these competitions, incredible amounts of innovation can be seen. There were 61 student-designed machines at this year's regional competition at the Memorial Coliseum, and all of them took a different and wildly creative approach to the challenge. I feel that if students in Portland gained access to a 1 gigabit per second symmetrical internet connection, they could display the same creativity and innovation in what they create with this connection that I see every year at that robotics competition. 2 years ago, I stood in a crowd of over 1,000 Portland area youth at that robotics regional. And I listened as the vice president of education at Autodesk, which is a national software company, said, "I know you're going to do things that people said could never be done with technology." I firmly believe that this is true, and that this statement not only reflects the potential that Portland area youth show in robotics, but that this statement speaks to the potential for innovation that high school students could show with this high-speed internet connection as well.
Thank you very much. Great testimony, sir.
My name's Collier Johnson, and I am a student at Portland Community College. See, the internet advances communication. The internet, it is communication, and communication is it's the basis for our society. It is the catalyst of business, of art, music, and education. And, you know, through time, people have tried to advance communication, but barriers have persisted. The buildings that fill downtown Portland are still necessary to hold our offices because digital communication has not yet advanced to the point where it can equal a conversation held in person, that it cannot share assets on a level equal to a physical presentation. With the gigabit internet connection that Google promises to have, we can overcome these limitations. I hope to see a future where offices are merely a figure of speech. In my future, people will be unhindered by the startup costs of infrastructure investments. There will come a day where information and ideas will flow freely, unfiltered and unencumbered by the barriers of distance and technology, where these barriers fade down to being almost invisible. When businesses are held accountable only to the standards of imagination and possibility, it is the inevitable progression of our society, and I hope this will be communication that becomes Portland's legacy.
Very well done. Good job and testimony. Give him a round of applause. My understanding is next we have Gerald Baugh from PDC. Wilfred. Penfold from Intel, and Matt Neese from the Software Association of Oregon. Glad you're here. Carla?
Mr. Mayor and Council, I'll start. Gerald Baugh, Portland Development Commission. From the PDC perspective, we think this is a very important step to embracing 21st century technology and its direction. And this action by Council is another step of really building the community and getting them on the information superhighway. When you adopted the economic development strategy back in July, you called out four target industries that we were going to look at and really put our efforts behind in job creation, one of those being software. I happen to be the manager for that industry cluster for PDC. In taking a look at that, we have nearly some 1,200 software companies within the city of Portland. Out of those, there are about some 450 that have 1 to 2 employees. And when you take a look at that, most of those start with a software company. You need 2 people, a couple of computers, and a lot of times it's a kitchen table where that business gets started. This sort of thing with Google gives those businesses an opportunity to have the kind of access and connectivity that they need to help grow and scale their business. In addition to that, we've got another over 500 businesses that have 5 folks or fewer. And so it goes to some of the numbers that we've shared with you before, that this is an area of small business. This kind of thing, being able to get fiber to the home, is very, very important. Mr. Penfold will talk a little bit about something that he's done, and I had the opportunity to attend. Back in November, there was a supercomputing conference that came to Portland, and we looked at and started some conversation around building an information hub. That supercomputing conference had a hub at it that generated the ability for people to pass and receive information at 400 gigabytes per second. It was some 84 companies of tools that were put together, some $20 million of equipment that came about in putting that sort of thing together. For the time that it was here at the Portland Convention Center, it was the most powerful computing entity on planet Earth. What we're looking at with Google potentially gives us a leg up toward driving towards something that Mr. Penfold's been looking at and talking about, and helps build that kind of connectivity and the kind of information and data sharing that we're looking at and thinking about for the city of Portland, and giving us an economic leg up on what's happening around the nation. So I urge your support for this particular institute.
When was that event?
November. It was in November of last year. Oh, okay. So we brought about 11,000 individuals, professionals in high-performance computing to Portland to talk about how high-performance computing is impacting their industries. And three of the major themes at that conference were health, environment, and education. And as we get more capability in our computing and our communications infrastructure, we find that those industries become more dependent on the advancement of those industries, become more dependent on this kind of communications infrastructure. So bringing this kind of infrastructure to Portland will allow us to have a leading position in developing new jobs around healthcare, around the environment, and around education. So I strongly support bringing such an infrastructure to Portland.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, to echo everyone's comments, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm Matt Nies, president of the Software Association of Oregon. Call me a representative of this entity that makes up the small business environment, the technology environment, and development environment. To back up with all the testimony you've heard so far this morning, going back even down to the level of education, you heard a number of examples that were right here. These are the type of students today that are eclipsing what we were trying to do as high school students for some of us 20 plus years ago. What they're doing today is already on the verge of launching businesses, selling products, developing services, and becoming their own entrepreneurs. And I say entrepreneurs because entrepreneurship is the heart of Portland. We've been very well known for that. You heard about the number of small businesses right here in the core of Portland. Having the number of the amount of bandwidth increased with this kind of opportunity leapfrogs us above the competition. And the reason I say that is because if you speed in innovation, you increase the competitiveness of the environment, of this ecosystem. And that's exactly what this opportunity will do. With the number of people that are running small development shops, developing software, services, within the Portland metro region, there is the opportunity to open the door for a lot more potential employment of a lot of the single type of folks that are going to be working, telecommuting from their home. This opens that door for that kind of innovation, both on the corporate side as well as on the individual entrepreneur side. And on behalf of the industry, we fully support this opportunity and wish that this is the Google's going to be the new home here. Thank you.
And I just want to take the opportunity to underscore our thanks for your great leadership of the Software Association of Oregon. It is, you've reactivated, re-energized it, and we're grateful.
If I could just piggyback on that, I'd also like to thank the Software Association for its work with the Portland Police Bureau. Through common friendships with the late Officer Mark Zalawi, we've been working with their members to produce some really good innovations in how we can communicate. Officers communicate with each other, but also how we can communicate with our public more. And there's some pretty exciting things that are going on. And you'll be hearing about those maybe more this afternoon. But thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We're very honored to have Ward Cunningham via video. Is that right? Somebody. And then we'll also have Vince Porter. And who's first on the sign-up sheet?
I have a Mike Burnett.
Okay. Glad you're here. Vince, why don't you go ahead and get started? And
we'll wait for the connection. I'll be brief so we can get to the Irish dancers. My name is Vince Porter. I'm the Executive Director of the Governor's Office of Film and Television. Before I get talking about the benefits of this type of network for film and video, I would like to thank the mayor and also the entire council for their tremendous support in the last few years in our efforts to bring more film and television production here to Oregon. And I think there's been some great results, and certainly a broadband network like this would be another tool for us in recruiting even more production and developing the economy in the film and video industry. Leverage is a perfect example of an opportunity. Many of you are aware of the television series that's filmed here. they don't film on film anymore or even a videotape. They film on a hard drive. And what they do with that on a daily basis is they ship that hard drive down to Los Angeles and extract that information and create their television program. If we were able to give them a high-end broadband network where they could really plug that hard drive in, it would give them the opportunity to exchange this level of information back and forth and also potentially even give them an opportunity to develop even more of a route here in Portland. And they've expressed interest to me several times. And in fact, last year we looked into the possibility of this type of network for them, and currently it's not available. So I think having that level of connectivity like what Google is proposing would be a tremendous asset for us in the city and also the entire state. Another phenomenon that I've seen recently is the amount of digital media and visual effects and graphics artists that live here in Portland that often go down to work in Los Angeles to make their money. If they were able to have this kind of connectivity and be able to stay at home and have that those tools here, I really believe that their potential could grow even tenfold and, in fact, would not have to go down to L.A. at all to do their work, again, enhancing the economy here in Portland. I also think that the future of film and video is going to be very decentralized, and, in fact, there's going to be more opportunities to connect up with international partners. I worked on a television series prior to here where we shot in Ireland, did our post-production in Canada, and never left Los Angeles to manage the project. Having that level of connectivity here in Portland would allow us to establish those types of partnerships where we're no longer concerned solely about what is filmed here, but we could reach out to many different countries and, again, enhance this creative community and show what we have to offer. So I thank you for your support in the last 2 years, and I encourage you to support this effort as well.
Thank you, Vince. You're doing a great job as well, landing Leverage for a second season. And this weekend there's a convention of Leverage fans, right?
Yeah, there is. I wasn't part of our plan, but lo and behold, I think there's over 300 people coming in from out of town to come to a Leverage convention at the Governor Hotel, which is one of those added unintended benefits of bringing projects to Oregon.
Well, it makes our work very exciting here. I had a meeting in the Rose Room not long ago. In the course of the meeting, someone scraped the name off the door, came in, took the paintings and the furniture out, and it was later that some guy in a general's uniform came in who was an actor. So it spices up life around here at City Hall.
Well, and we are grateful for your willingness to let them do that. It does make a difference, and encourage you to continue.
We're all
that
hoping
support.
To get a bit role, frankly.
Lana Vinker casting.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Mike Burnett, and I have been a serial pioneer in the earliest startup phases of energy efficiency, renewable energy, and climate change mitigation. I spent the past 10 years growing the Climate Trust into the second most recognized carbon offset provider in the world. Now I am the president of Hot Sky Consulting, another startup. I'm here to draw your attention to the critical linkage between fiber to the premises and sustainability. Remember back to the days of the dial-up modem. Speed jumped by a factor of 50, and now we have email, e-commerce, and social networking as essential components of our daily lives. None of these were possible in the dial-up modem era. We now face a jump in bandwidth 10 times as great, speed increasing by a factor of 500 instead of 50, and moving from today's technology to gigabit technology. Just as we couldn't envision Amazon.com, Facebook, and even Google in the dial-up era, we can't fully envision the fantastic things that fiber to the premises will do for us in the future. But we can be certain of one thing. Gigabit bandwidth will be critical to economic competitiveness in the future. But it is not key just to economic competitiveness, but to environmental sustainability as well. Scientists predict dire consequences if we don't cut greenhouse gas emissions by 80%. The key drivers of emissions, electricity, buildings, and transportation, all must go through fundamental transformations to become more, dramatically more emissions efficient. To get there, we need symmetrical gigabit bandwidth to enable the smart grid and distributed renewable generation to stimulate smart and zero-carbon buildings and to allow us to efficiently coordinate the movement of people and materials. Portland is one of the global epicenters for sustainability, with many firsts and bests. Our 1993 city climate plan, essentially meeting Kyoto, most renewable energy, most LEED buildings, most hybrids, and most bike commuters, for examples. We are unique in our intellectual, institutional, and leadership capacity and have the potential to pioneer new internet-based sustainability solutions and export them around the globe. We need gigabit fiber to fulfill this critical pathfinding role. I urge the council to pursue a Google Fiber testbed and to fully develop a community fiber network in Portland, and urge Google to maximize the sustainability demonstration benefits of its testbed by selecting Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts.
Thank you, and thanks for your advocacy and great work over the years. How many more people are signed up?
We have five more.
Why don't you go down and I'll take off?
Okay. So you now get things started.
You're not.
Are we going to look at the video,
Mr. Finn? We have the virtual testimony, yes.
Let's do the video, and then if we, Carla, could you call the next three people up?
Okay. The next three are Sheldon Renan, Russell Sr., and Michael Weinberg.
You could come up and take seats, and then in the interim we'll listen to Mr. Cunningham.
You know, I'm here with an amazing group of people, all of which care about the future of the Internet, and especially the open Internet. And I told a story tonight about 1994 when I learned about the Internet, and a fellow here in town put me on the Internet by getting a $300 computer, putting it under my desk in my office, and connecting it through a 14-port modem. And also spent 3 hours telling me the vision of what it meant to be on the Internet. And I took that and I said, I know what to do with this. I had a group of people who were dissatisfied with how computer programming was done. We were focusing on pattern languages of software. We developed that as hypertext. We turned around and we extended that to agile software development. We changed the way software development was done worldwide from a $300 computer under my desk in my office in Portland, Oregon, because I could. And that realization that I could was the struggle that wasn't built into anything. Anything else, I said, hey, if you get on the Internet, you can buy stuff cheap. That was the message. It's a shopping mall. And I, thank goodness, I learned that it could be more than that, and I've had a tremendous impact, you know, to the fact that there are conferences the world over on software patterns. There are conferences the world over on agile software development. And amazingly, there are conferences the world over on Wiki, which is this little technology that I put on that $300 server and made it work. Now, it's not like that anymore. You need a lot more. We need to have the next generation similarly empowered to use their creativity to invent here in Portland, Oregon, what the next thing is, not for Portland, Oregon, but for the world.
Nice.
And that was filmed here at Sheldon's house.
Just for the record, who is Ward Cunningham?
Ward Cunningham is the man who invented the wiki. All of us today live, die by Wikipedia, but Wikipedia is only one of a small number, one of probably a million wikis around the world, which create technology and knowledge commons that almost everybody has a voice in, can work on, and use.
Well, we welcome all three of you, sir. Since you started, if you could state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Mayor, when he comes back, and council members. My name is Sheldon Renan. I was born in Portland, and I left to learn how to write movies, and ended up writing technology and a lot of other things, and recently, 2 years ago, moved back to Portland thinking I was going to make a sacrifice, but found myself in the middle of a hotbed of creativity and innovation, and at Portland, as a friend of mine, Ernest Kallenbach, who wrote Ecotopia, had predicted, has become the future. In November, the Supercomputing Association held its meetings here in Portland, annual meetings here in Portland. I was asked to attend interviews with people who ran a lot of those centers, and that turned into this book, which I was asked to edit the interviews together, about infrastructure and opportunity for cities, populations, communities, people, species, everything. So I write a lot about connectivity, but I'm here today to testify to three things. The first is that the more things are connected, the more things can communicate, coordinate, collaborate, the better things work, the safer people are, the smarter things are, the more opportunity communities have. In the many decisions that you will have to make over your term and future terms, I hope you will remember that it is now community, which is a community supported by connectivity, which is the largest source of potential opportunity. It used to be Moore's Law. Now it's the law of connectivity. The second thing is that the difference between Portland's past and Portland's future will be defined mainly by connectivity. So we're not just by the internet, not just by networks, but by NetNIST, the kind of ubiquitous connectivity with lots of different services, a kind of a fabric of services that wind together. And whether we're able to support really important initiatives like aging in place is going to depend on what we call rich connectivity. And by rich connectivity, we mean abundant connectivity, open connectivity, connectivity that anybody can access, so that everything works together. You can't get that from an incumbent. An incumbent is responsible by corporate fiat, by law, to its shareholders to make profits. It is not responsible to the customers.
Yes.
This is a discussion today and every day about infrastructure. When you invest in an infrastructure, you invest in everything. And a mayor, somebody who was a mayor for seven terms, was quoted online the other day and said 10 years after he had left office that in retrospect, the only investments that the city had made that were worth a dime were those that were things that were owned by everybody.
Yes.
Infrastructure serves everybody. You have to get out of the grip of the incumbents and focus on what connectivity can do. The third thing I want to say is...
Sir, I'm sorry, but your 3 minutes is up. If you could just wrap up.
Very simply, Google is a huge opportunity, but it doesn't matter whether we get Google or not. Portland wants to be connected. That's it.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir?
I'm Russell Senior. I am currently the president of the Personal Telco Project, a volunteer-based nonprofit here in Portland, and I'm speaking in support of the resolution. Personal Telco is best known today for its free Wi-Fi hotspots. Approximately 30,000 people used networks we managed last year, nearly 10,000 unique users every month. We have built many networks, including at Pioneer Courthouse Square and a neighborhood-scale network along North Mississippi Avenue. There are about 100 Personal Telco Wi-Fi networks in Portland today, providing internet access free to the end user. Early work by Personal Telco helped create the expectation that Wi-Fi hotspot networks should be free, which is the norm in Portland today. However, the Personal Telco Project really began 10 years ago, not because we were inherently Wi-Fi geeks, but in response to our perception of the fundamental flaws in our telecommunications. We are acutely aware that today bandwidth is too costly, too limited in speed, availability, and freedom. In fact, our original goal was to build our own network because the incumbents were failing to meet our needs. Personal Telco Project supports an open access fiber network in Portland. We support the city's application to Google to help build it. Google understands innovation and what is required for internet innovation to flourish. However, it is important for Portland citizens to have an open access fiber to the premises network even if Google ultimately chooses to build somewhere else. I believe that public ownership of the last mile infrastructure is the easiest, fairest, and best way to get the freedom and price advantages that our citizens want and need. Most for-profit partners are going to want to exercise control over the way people are allowed to use the network in order to maximize their profit, charging extra for arbitrarily different services. We don't manage our streets like that. We should not be managing our communications infrastructure that way either. Imagine if Chrysler got to decide what cars you were allowed to drive on their streets and where you could stop to shop. In the hands of private for-profit carriers, we can expect increasingly intrusive network management as they seek to wring the last drops of money from the advantage their ownership and control of the infrastructure affords. Access to faster internet threatens incumbents' existing businesses, so they have an incentive to be miserly. For what most Portlanders pay Comcast for 3 years of internet service, we could build fiber to their house, and then we'd own it, and we wouldn't need to worry that our freedom was preventing the carrier from making more profit. 100 years ago, Portland made a wise investment in a public water system that we are rightfully proud of. In another 100 years, let's hope that citizens then can say the same of us. Thank you.
My name is Michael Weinberg. I am a past president of the Personal Telco Project and an organizing volunteer behind the Portland Community Fiber Initiative, which is at portlandfiber.com. I'm here to urge a yes vote on the resolution to respond to Google's Fiber for Communities RFI. Thanks to the excellent work of David Olson, Mary Beth Henry, and the Office of Cable Franchise Management, along with your staffs, especially Brendan Finn, we know many of the benefits open access fiber will create. However, like many innovations made possible by the internet, there are countless ideas that won't be imagined, let alone realized, until a high-speed open network is built and available to tomorrow's innovators. Today, you will vote on one opportunity to bring open access fiber to our city. But regardless of Google's decision, we need open access fiber for the future of Portland's technology, business, and creative communities. If the time comes when we must decide to do for ourselves or to do without, it is imperative that our leaders take the bold step to build one of the best communications networks in the world. I believe that the citizens of Portland are ready to be partners in creating open access community fiber. The internet is a rare experiment in government-created infrastructure that fosters an unfettered free market of ideas and information. Let us preserve and protect it from corporations who would control or restrict access to it by building a network that ensures free access for us and for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Carla?
The last two who signed up are Peter and Judy Johnson Lenz.
Hi, welcome to City Council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad you're here. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Good morning. I'm Peter Johnson Lenz.
And I'm Trudy Johnson Lenz. We're team P plus T, and we'll only take 3 minutes between us. We're pathfinders and pioneers, helping people work and think together effectively in cyberspace.
In 1977, we were given 8 hours of free connect time on a precursor to the internet. From our small electronic cottage in Lake Oswego, we connected to an international computer conferencing system in New Jersey, funded by the National Science Foundation.
Back then, we sold our second car to buy a second computer terminal. Think of all those vehicle miles not traveled.
Did you say 1977?
1977. We've been at this for over 30 years.
We
parlayed our 8 hours of connect time into a 30-year career. Connectivity has been our economic development engine, and it's given us job creation.
Over the years, we've learned 3 key lessons that few communities or organizations understand yet, but Portland does understand. It's leading the way to innovations in civic life that all cities will need in the future. The first lesson is that this technology amplifies and accelerates whatever flows through it, for better or worse. A fat pipe is just a pipe. A word processor doesn't make a good writer. And social media doesn't make for a good society. Good collaboration requires an inclusive, collaborative culture, and that takes time and careful cultivation. But Portland already has an open, inclusive, collaborative culture to make good use of open access high-speed connectivity.
The second lesson we've learned is that nobody can reliably predict the future of this technology. For example, Facebook started at Harvard as a student directory with pictures. Just last week, it became the most visited website on the internet, surpassing even Google. Most of the game-changing applications on the web came about when people tried something new after that capability was already in place. During our long career, nearly all of our projects have explored previously uncharted territory, learning what actually works through hands-on collaboration with our clients. We call this pathfinding.
Lesson three, the best way to learn what works is to build and use prototypes. Fail early, assess often, and learn from everything, especially mistakes. We won't get it right the first time. Portland's history and culture of creative experimentation demonstrates that we know how to innovate here. Portland is already a hub of open source software. We've got a great and growing creative class. We're leaders in sustainability and green building. How could ultra broadband help us reach the aggressive goals of the Climate Action Plan? What part does it play in the Portland plan? No one really knows. We can organize now to learn our way forward together.
One last thought. Let's organize a multi-sector collaboration to launch a Portland Civic Laboratory for Smarter Futures that coordinates and accelerates the discovery of ultra-connected social innovations for the future. And regardless of what Google does, Portland wants and needs ultra-bandwidth.
Go Portland!
Yay, thank you. Great. All right, that gets us to, unless there's anyone else that wishes to testify, I believe that gets us to our vote.
I want to make one more quick plug for those watching this on the internet or on TV at home. If you want to help nominate Portland to Google, Portland Community Media has kindly put the website right here for you all to log on and to nominate Portland. And again, for those who also want to be involved, please visit www.portlandfiber.com. Thank you.
And Brendan, just to clarify, you say again, this does not cost any taxpayers' dollars.
That's correct.
And also, please clarify, is this going to provide free service to citizens' homes?
Well, it'll be a competitive service. Google wants to provide the infrastructure and allow any internet service provider or video provider to compete on that network. That network will be much faster than existing networks and will also be open to competition, which is not currently existing.
That's not a free service, that it's going to probably provide competition that will...
It'll be a competitive environment for customers.
Thank you very much for all your work on this.
Thank you.
All right. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz, I chose to come here to Portland 25 years ago. I did a nationwide search to find the best place to live and raise a family, and so I encourage Google to do the same and find out that Portland, in fact, is the best place to come. I'm sure your employees will enjoy it here. They'll probably all want to stay. And we in Portland would greatly appreciate this opportunity to show what a diverse community we are with a lot of different interests, which we think Google will be well served by. If you want to find out how it works with different kinds of folks, Portland is a good place to come. Thank you very much also, particularly to Brendan Finn. And as I mentioned, he is Commissioner Saltzman's chief of staff. Skip Newberry in Mayor Adams' office has also worked really hard on this, as has Tim Crail in my office. And it's an example of the government in Portland is united, and we are united with our partners across the state. Come to Oregon, whichever you pick. Come to Oregon, because this is a good place to do business. Aye. Fish.
Well, thank you, David Olson, Mary Beth Henry, Brendan Finn, and all the people who took time to testify for this presentation. I'm very pleased to support this resolution, and I'll go one step further. My extended family will help maintain the fibers. My stepbrother lives on the Global Sentinel, which is stationed here in Portland, and every time one of the cables under the Pacific is damaged, that's dispatched to actually repair those. And so We'll throw that in as a freebie. But anyway, I learned a lot. I told Commissioner Saltzman a couple of times I needed English translation on some of the testimony. The technology and the language is now light years ahead, and I'm still trying to work my email function on my city computer. But I appreciate very much the education and the passion behind this. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank all of those who are involved in putting together this application to Google. It's been a good deal of work in a short time, so special thanks to Brendan Finn, my chief of staff, Skip Newberry of the mayor's office, David Olson and Mary Beth Henry of the Office of Cable Franchise, whatever.
You're out of practice.
Yeah, I'm out of practice. But we do want to send the strongest message possible. And the good folks at Google, I know, are looking at us, are poised there with open arms to see what we've got. And I hope we've illustrated some of the vision that we have here in Portland to become the candidate of their choice. It is true that we have much to benefit from being chosen as one of the cities included in Google's plans. The jobs associated with the construction of the network will be significant. But the competitive advantage it will give our city in recruiting and retaining private sector businesses has huge, huge potential. That, and it continues our other ethos, which is as a creative, tech-savvy city. And that's an image, a reputation that we take great pride in. So I'm excited about the prospect, as are the other cities in our state and across the country we are in competition with. To those other cities in Oregon, I wish you the best of luck because, as Mary Beth said, if you succeed, we also succeed because having it in our state. To the other cities who are not in Oregon, you may have grabbed headlines with stunts like renaming your city after Google or having your mayor jump on a freezing lake, but it will take more than that.
That's not going to happen here.
It's going to take more than that to beat out the Rose City. As you can see, we've done our homework and we're poised, so I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Well, this is an outstanding effort, and in addition to Portland being the best city for Google to operate in, they also reflect our values, not just domestically but internationally, and I'll just leave it at that. They are a progressive company that believes in the kinds of things that may not always make economic good sense, but make social good sense. And I recognize that about Google, and I couldn't be more excited than the prospect of having them actually be in our city. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Amanda Fritz for her leadership on not only this issue, but a host of difficult problems and opportunities in the area of technology, especially as it meets neighborhoods and human beings. So thank you for your leadership on this. I want to thank Brendan Finn for your great work on a staff level, Skip Newberry from my team, and David Olson, Mary Beth Henry, and the entire folks in the Bureau. We've chosen not to rename the city for now, but if we get this, we will definitely seriously consider renaming
a street.
No.
On a temporary basis.
Google Maps.
Just kidding. I'm very pleased about aye. Congratulations. All right. Carla, can you please read second reading?
Mayor, have we adopted the consent agenda yet?
Yes. We did it. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 373?
Direct the Bureau of Environmental Services to incorporate into its capital improvement plan Green Street projects on prioritized boulevards as identified in the council-adopted Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030.
Please call the vote.
Fritz.
Last week, Mayor Adams graciously agreed to give me another week to look into the questions I had about this proposal, and I'm pleased to announce that I have done so. I spent most of the week doing it, including most of the night last night in final touches. And I appreciate the work of the staff in the Bureau
Portland Bureau of Transportation and the Bureau of Environmental Services for helping to educate me about what is being proposed. Also staff in the mayor's office and Commissioner Saltzman and his staff. There are many questions that citizens had. I think the first question is, where did the $20 million come from? And it is